Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we'll see how knowing who you are in Christ gives you a sense of purpose and value.
The enemy understands that when you feel like you don't belong, then you become strategically separated from the people of God and you become vulnerable to the enemy that lies to your identity and your soul. He can swerve you away from your God-given purpose and destiny.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Well, as followers of Jesus, we should be actively searching for our God-given purpose and destiny. But if someone doesn't know who they are, well, it can be difficult to know the direction to take or where to look. And Mark, one of the themes of your preaching and ministry is that we shouldn't be just sitting idly by waiting for things to just happen.
You're right, Wayne, it's one of my themes in preaching because I believe it's one of the themes of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Our identity actually points us to our purpose and it accelerates us towards our destiny. And that's what this passage is all about. He tells us in Peter who we are, and then he says, this is what you're called to do.
Yes, and there's no greater sense of satisfaction than knowing you're doing what God wants you to do.
That's right. It starts with understanding who we are, and it progresses to understanding what God has called us to do.
Well, that's the title of the message, Do You Know Who You Are? Here's Mark Job.
Have you ever seen a football team that's losing, and they walk into the locker room at halftime, and the players have their helmets off, they're sweating, but they're looking down, they're discouraged, you could see their shoulders are slumped, you could see that they've had a very bad first half. And usually what the coach does in the locker room at halftime, and sometimes it's the halftime speech that turns the entire game around. But I've noticed that what good coaches do, it's not all about plays and technicalities and strategy. Most of the times, what good coaches do is they remind their players, their team, they remind them of who they are. And I've seen some of the most powerful locker room conversations, and oftentimes they go something like this: hey, we haven't come this far to lose. You are winners. You've worked hard. You are champions. Look at the person beside you and tell him he's a champion. We are destined to be able to win. Because a coach understands that winning or losing oftentimes hinges on how the team sees themselves. I believe that at this time in our nation, in our country, in our city, that we, the people of God, we need to know who we are in the midst of this. Because here's the challenge. If we're not clear on our identity, then we get fuzzy about our purpose. Oh man, let me tell you that. Let me say that again. You see, purpose flows out of identity. Show me someone that is unclear about who they are, and I'll show you someone that's unclear about their purpose and their mission and what they're called to accomplish. Show me someone that's clear about their identity, and I'll show you someone that's much more clear about their mission and their purpose, because mission flows out of identity. It flows out of purpose and identity. When someone in the army knows who they are, they fight the battle better. When a football player understands who they are, they win championships better. When a worker understands who they are, they do their job better. When a dad understands his identity, he fathers better. It's true about all of life. And so the Apostle Peter is speaking to a group of people that are in the midst of a very challenging time. They're struggling and their identity was getting shaken. And so he's reminding them, hey, this is who you are, because this is what you're called to do. And I was thinking about that for a moment. We, who we are as a congregation, as people. If our identity was in a worship service, guess what? That's been taken away from us. If you felt like, hey, I'm New Life, and for you, New Life is to gather in a packed out auditorium on Sunday morning, and that's your identity, then that has been taken from you, and we're meeting in homes and online and in parking lots. If our identity was a building to you, then we've lost our identity because our building was shut down. If our identity was the fact that you had a ministry on Sunday morning, and that has sort of disappeared for this time, then you struggle with, like, well, what's our purpose now? And I want to talk to you about that. So there's four things that our identity helps us with. And I want you to turn in your Bibles again to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. Follow along in your Bibles with me, and this is what it says. But you are a chosen people. Yeah, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once upon a time, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which are against your soul and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Word of the Lord. So if you're taking notes, write this down. I'm talking about understanding who we are. Number one, identity speaks to your value. Identity speaks to your value. Notice what Peter is telling this group of people. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And he uses this as corporate titles. In other words, this is plural. He's not talking about an individual. He's talking about who we are as a group of people. And he goes on to say, and by the way, again, this book was written to a people who were under pressure, and they were beginning to allow society to define them as opposed to allow God to define who they are. You know, if you are a parent here, can I just give you an insight into this? Before you send your junior high daughter into high school, you need to really help her understand who she is. Because if she doesn't understand who she is in high school, in junior high, and as she goes into high school, someone will help tell her who she is. Come on, parents. If you don't help build an identity into her, then someone in high school is going to try to tell her, well, this is who you are. And if she's not strong in that, she's going to let someone else define her. Listen, before your son goes off to college, I hope that you have helped build a strong identity in his spirit of who he is and what he stands for. Because if you don't help him before he goes off to college, someone in college, some group of people, some individual, some person, some teacher is going to try to tell him who he is. And if he doesn't know who he is, he may easily take on a wrong identity from someone who is pressuring him to believe lies that aren't truly about his identity in God. I remember my daughter, Marissa, my oldest, who now has a beautiful baby, big baby boy named Finn, her and her husband. But when she was a freshman in high school, she was trying to figure out who she is, like a lot of high school kids do. And I knew she was. And so I would drop her off at the doors of the high school, and before I let her out of the car, I would kiss her on the cheek, and I would say, hey, look at me, Marissa. I would say, hey, remember, you're much more than a pretty face. And she was pretty. She is pretty. But I would tell her, you know, you're much more than a pretty face. You are a smart, independent, young girl with values and worth in your life. And so I wanted her to know that, because I know that when she got into school, she would be defined as a pretty girl. But I wanted her to know that, no, there's much more value than just your face. There's much more value to you than just your looks. You are a woman of God in the making. So the Apostle Peter is telling this congregation, these people that are struggling to figure out who they are, he's telling them, hey, society's going to try to define you, but I want you to understand who you are. He says several things about their value. He says, you're a chosen race. The word that he uses in the Greek here is genos, which is race or kind. It comes from race or kind. So he's telling them, you are a particular type of people, race or kind. Now, he's not specifically talking to Jewish people. He's actually talking to believers. You know, race is a huge topic today in our culture, in our city at this moment. There's a new awareness and sensitivity about race. And so let me just be clear that you understand this. Whether you are African American, or whether you are Latino, or whether you are Asian, or whether you are Caucasian, all those are important. They speak to your culture. They speak to your background. We celebrate our diversity. But let me say this. Here's where we get it wrong. Your first identity is that you are a chosen people, that you belong to God. Listen, if I start saying, well, you know, I'm Irish. I'm Irish, and then I'm Christian, because I found out I have 42% Irish in me. If I say I'm Irish, and Irish goes before Christian, then there's a problem. If my wife, who's Mexican-American, starts to say, well, I'm a Mexican-American that happens to be Christian, then it's a problem. What God is telling us is we are, first of all, chosen people, and then we have different backgrounds. So my wife is a Mexican. She's a Christian first that happens to be Mexican-American, and we celebrate that. But her first identity is not her race, not her age, not what side of the track she grew on, not whether she, come on, can I go there, is a Sox fan or a Cubs fan. Her first identity, yeah, is that she is a follower of Jesus. Because listen, if we don't get that right, then we have no basis for our unity, because you will let either the north side or south side, you'll let the color of skin, you'll let economic factors divide the body of Christ. First of all, we are a chosen people before we are anything else. That comes in the first priority. And then we celebrate our diversity. But first of all, we celebrate our unity as men and women that are chosen of God. Come on.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Today's message is titled, Do You Know Who You Are? If you find that you're in need of a little bit of encouragement, or you're needing a reminder each week about who you are in Christ, be sure to sign up for our Bold Stepper Weekly. It's an automated email that's delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning. Learn more about Mark and this ministry and discover resources that will help you. Get to step it in your walk with Christ this year. You can sign up at boldstepsradio.org. Look for the Bold Stepper Weekly. Right now, let's jump back into the message about our identity in Christ. Once again, here's Mark Jobe.
Then secondly, he says, you're a royal priesthood. Royal, by the way, it has to do with authority, has to do with a kingly stature. And then priesthood has to do with worship and service. Now, this may not strike any of you strange, but for the Jewish believers hearing this, they would have gone, because they very clearly understood that royalty and priesthood never mixed. You were either royal or you were priestly, but you couldn't be both. In fact, in the Old Testament, the monarchy and the priesthood were strictly separated. The priesthood came from a lineage, and the royalty came from a lineage, and they did not intermix. In fact, I don't have time to get into it this morning, but King Uzziah, He was a king and he tried to act like a priest and he was immediately struck down. Saul was in the kingly area, tried to pass in the priestly area, and immediately he was disqualified because they wouldn't do both. But here's what God is saying to us. God is saying to us, I'm mixing both of them. He's basically saying, you have authority with King Jesus, and then you're also called to serve and worship as a priesthood. So we have the authority that accompanies our position as men and women of the kingdom of God, but we also have the call to work on behalf of God. So we can pray for people, but yet we have authority as we speak over people's lives. We are in a position of royalty with authority with God, but yet we worship and we serve as well. The Bible calls it a royal priesthood. He's mixed us together, high value and high service combined together. So never forget it. You're a royal priesthood. Thirdly, he tells us, listen, he says, you're a holy nation. They were called to be a people. A nation is defined by its territory, by its culture. You are a people, not only an ethnos called people, but you are a nation that belongs together, a community. And in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 12, it says, they will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be sought after, the city no longer deserted. So there's that sense of we are a nation together. And number four, he refers to them. Oh, I love this. Man, I wish I could preach this because some of you need to hear this. A people belonging to God. Literally, a people for gain making, or a prized people, or a people that God has earned unto himself. We are a people that belongs. You know, one of the greatest questions that I feel like many in this generation are struggling with is this question: do I belong? Who am I? And I feel especially at this moment in our city, in our nation, people are trying to be defined by their political party. People are being defined by their race. People are being defined by their social economic status. People are defined by whether you're in the border or out of the border. And listen, what God is telling us who are people of God, who are followers of Jesus, he's saying this: you are a people that belongs to God. You belong. And I don't know if you have been feeling this recently, but there's a lot of people, because of the social isolation, because you haven't been able to meet in person, the enemy comes in and he starts to whisper this lie to you: you don't belong. He starts to say, this is not your tribe. He starts to say, yeah, you know, there's people of other races here. Is this really your tribe? There's people of other political persuasions. Is this really your tribe? There's people that maybe are older than you or younger than you. Is this really your tribe? Hey, there's people that are wealthier than you or maybe poorer than you. Is this really your tribe? Hey, there's people that live on the north side and don't understand the south side, or south side and don't understand the north side. Is this really your tribe? I think the enemy tries to pull us away from the body of Christ and tries to lie to us, because the enemy understands that when you feel like you don't belong, then you become strategically separated from the people of God, and you become vulnerable to the enemy that lies to your identity and your soul. And if he can lie about your identity, well, if he can lie about your identity, come on, he can swerve you away from your God-given purpose and destiny. And I know that word is for someone today. Secondly, if you're taking notes, not only does identity speak to our value, but identity points to your purpose. Notice what he continues to say in this passage, he said, that you may, you are chosen people, a royal priesthood. He says all these things, a people that belongs to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In essence, what God is saying is that we are a people that has a purpose. We are a people from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different neighborhoods. We don't look the same. If we were all together here, gathered together, especially here at New Life Midway, you look around and we are a multi-ethnic, multicultural church. There are people that look very different from you. There are people that grew up in different parts of Chicago or maybe even outside of Chicago. There are people from different social economic backgrounds. Yet, God has joined us together and God has declared that we have a common purpose. Notice, your purpose is found in your identity. And what Peter says is our purpose, don't get this wrong, is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. What does that mean? That means that our stated purpose is that we live in such a way, that we behave in such a way, that we interact in such a way, that people will declare how great our God is because we are talking about how he's taken us out of the darkness into the light. And because we are people of light, people don't point to our goodness. They look at us and they say, there must be a God. And so our lives help people declare the praises of God. Now, let me be very clear about this. Whatever we do as people is really important. It should point to God and result in his praise. New Life Community Church is not what it is because of a leader, and the praise should never go to a leader. It is not what it is because of the organization, and the praise should never go to an organization. And it's not even what it is because of the people, and the praise should never go to the people. The praise should ultimately continually be pointed to God. God is the one that's changed us. He gives us grace. He makes us love. He's the one that's changed us. He's the one that took us out of the filthy darkness that we were living in, people that were lost and destined to an eternity that was empty and hopeless. And he's given us an identity. He's filled us with the Spirit. He's given us value, worth, and dignity. And now, not only do we declare his praises, but we help other people understand how great and glorious God is. Because when you know that your Father loves you, you have identity. And your purpose is clear. I'm going to give all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory to King Jesus because he deserves it. We are a people with a purpose. So not only does identity speak to our value, it points to our purpose. Thirdly, it gives us a sense of belonging. Notice what it says in verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Pointing people to God through our actions, identity, and our purposes. That's the topic of today's message from pastor, author, and Bible teacher Mark Job. And this is Bold Steps. Well, living in a way that points people to God can be difficult when we don't know who we are or we don't necessarily trust God to handle everything, including the small stuff. And that last point is the subject of our latest Bold Step gift. Ann Graham Lotz's book, Why? Trusting God When You Don't Understand, walks you through difficult questions like, why does God allow bad things to happen? Why did God do that? And why is God silent? In this touching read, you'll discover that the process of learning to give everything over to God isn't just an intellectual exercise, it's a convicting and personal journey of healing and becoming whole. The book is our gift to you right now when you support the Ministry of Bold Steps with a gift of any amount. Simply call 844-615-7363 or give online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. or write to us with your gift, Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Once again, that's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then remember, each weekday you'll find us right here on your local radio station, or you can catch us online 24/7 when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Bold Steps is also available through the Moody Radio app or on your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts or Google Play. To learn how you hear this daily program whenever and wherever you like, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. And while you're on our website, be sure to share your story with us. Read some testimonies there from your fellow listeners. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll see how our identity gives us a sense of belonging and shapes the course of our lives. It's the conclusion of today's message, Do You Know Who You Are? It's coming up Thursday, right here, on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.